Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You're the first graduating class of the Golden Age of America. We're in the Golden Age. You watch. It's the Golden Age. Like many generations before you, you're graduating at an exciting time for our nation, a period of both extraordinary change and incredible potential and what will be unbelievable growth. You're going to see that very soon. You're going to see it starting very, very soon. The whole world is talking about it.
Whole world's talking about it, but standing in our way are these people.
It helps when you know that borders are not racist, speech is not violence, America is good, terrorists are bad, men can never become women,
what?
Police are not criminals, and criminals are not victims. Everybody should believe in the American dream. It's real, it's there, and it's right before you. We're coming back to the American dream.
Yeah, over the last few days, Lee, they have laid out their vision, Scott Bessent, Donald Trump. It gives me chills because I can see it. I can see it like right over the hill. Like, gosh, if we could just get there.
Yeah.
If we could just get, because I know it'll work. I know it will. I have seen conservative economic philosophies work
right.
My entire life.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what this is. Very simple. If you move here and you build your factory here in America and you provide Americans with good paying jobs, guess what? Guess what you get? You get 100% write-off of the cost of your factory. You got to build it. We get that. It's expensive. We're going to let you write off 100% of it. Wow. And 15% tax rate? If we can get this past the buffoons in Congress, I mean, Katie, bar the door, this country's going to boom again.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to boom again. Now, you put that, like, look at what that does to China for a minute, because this is not just great economic policy. This is a declaration of war on China. This policy may finish China off. Let me tell you why. China's tax rate right now, which, by the way, is lower than ours, is 25%. It's what it adds up to. You want to manufacture there. Okay, but so we have a higher tax rate cumulative than the communist China? Yeah, we're idiots. So what would this do? Okay, well, this would force China to drop theirs. Well, they're in a problem. They're printing more money than we are. They're at 300% of GDP. We're only at a little over 100, right? And we're in a financial mess. Don't kid yourself. So what would they have to do to make up that revenue? Print more as their factories flee. That's the plan. It could work. I know it could, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people might say, well, that's not fair. I saw some comments like that to American manufacturers. Well, okay, let's take that apart. Let's think about it for a minute. If you're manufacturing widgets over in XYZ, you're already in the market, right? You're already competition.
Right.
So you might as well move here and manufacture. And what this does is regular, say the factories that have already been built in America, they're depreciated every year, right? Over a very long period of time, what this does is catch you up so you can afford to build that factory in America, and Main Street wins. And to make that affordable, you put that 15% tax rate. I mean, we're going to start to begin to be able to compete with places like Ireland, which, you know, capitalistically has done some really good things. So I couldn't be more excited about this yesterday. I just what's been laid out over the last couple of days. I mean, look, you and I have documented this over the years. There's this weird thing with Congress. Whatever the, if there's five options for us to go down five different roads, it's like they pick the one that does the most damage to America every single dang time.
Yeah.
And after finally years of outrage, when we change it, they go, okay, and we'll pick the road that is the second least damaging. We just do. Good things go to Congress to die. But look, this is one of those things that Democrats aren't even going to be able to say, well, we can't afford it. Tax breaks for millionaires. No, there's no tax break here. We were collecting from these factories zero tax dollars because they're overseas. So if we give them a break to 15% to come here, well, now we're collecting something instead right. of nothing. So something is more than nothing from the billionaires. That's a tax increase, if you want to look at it the way Democrats should look at it.
Well, and tax decreases, tax cuts only go to those who are paying taxes to begin with.
Yes.
And what is it, around 52% of the population of this country does not pay any income tax because they don't meet the requirement?
Yeah, and you know, I've got real mixed feelings about all of this, Lee. I got to tell you, this idea, I love the idea of finally giving the tax break instead of the millionaires and billionaires, giving them to people waiting tables. So I waited tables for a long time. Right. That's how I paid my way through college.
Yeah.
And I was always exhausted. I had to work my way through. Other people were partying. All right, whatever. But the problem is when you don't pay taxes, you disattach from the system. You don't have any incentive to care about the waste and the things DOGE is finding. And I want everyone to have a stake in the mess so that everyone wants to clean it up. I want it to hurt when that waitress hears DOGE talk about the private jets that the bureaucrats at the Institute of Peace were flying around on taxpayer dollars after they moved the money into an account Congress can't oversee. I want the waitress to hurt so that she will get angry and carry a sign. So letting more people out of taxes, I don't know if it's the answer. I think the answer is cut it all and let and give us an across-the-board tax cut. I think that's the answer. But let everyone have skin in the game, because that's how we got here. When half the, as you just said, when half the country didn't pay taxes, they don't care anymore, but they want stuff.
Right.
So I don't know about that long-term, but I wanted to play J.D. Vance at Nucor Steel, because boy, does he nail what Biden did and the Democrats have done in the war on Nucor Steel that the Democrats conducted with environmental regulations.
Honest for a couple decades.
Oh, that's the wrong click. I'm sorry. That's the reverb one. I'm sorry. I'll get the other one. Well, anyway, he was talking about how he talked to Nucor Steel executives and how they were saying, look, we had this great plant in West Virginia and it's sitting idle because Joe Biden came into office. And I've been talking about this for a long time. Hiked electricity costs in just 4 years, 29%, highest ever for a president. He did that by putting a tax on natural gas produced off federal lands. Absolute destruction. And when he came into the office, they couldn't run that plant anymore.
Yeah, steel takes a lot of electricity to make.
Yeah. So, but you know, what do we do? Well, we just buy the Chinese steel made with slave labor and even dirtier energy.
Yeah, all their coal-fired plants.
Right. So the only effect that you have, you're hurting the environment in order to make sure Americans don't get jobs. It doesn't make sense. We'll have more on that coming up.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Folks, I know for a lot of you it's frustrating. Things, we're wanting to see indictments. We're wanting to see people going down for the things they did. You want to listen to the next segment, because it's going to preview what's coming. It's going to blow your mind yesterday. So be sure to tune in for that. In the meantime, I want to read this from Kevin O'Leary, okay? Because there's a lot of hysteria from the media about, oh, it's so bad. And if we decouple from China, here's this company. Oh, no, their supply line is botched. What will we do? Well, I want to read you the history of this. The Bushes were the architects of the disaster that was letting China into the WTO. Absolutely gutted manufacturing. We've been over the history for a very long time. That was a Republican disaster. Started with Papa Bush. And the poor Chinese people at one point were right on the verge of overthrowing their communist dictators. Finally, George W. Bush saved the Communist Party by making sure they got into the WTO. And then the disaster, not just for them, those poor people, the slaves that provide the slave labor in China, not only continued, but our disaster began as well. Now it's time to reverse that. Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful of Shark Tank fame, wrote this. And I want to read it. O'Leary takes issue with Trump's 145% tariffs on most Chinese imports. He says it should be 400%. Here's what he wrote. So here's what we have. We have Daddy Bush starting the process. We have Bill Clinton completing the process. So this is a bipartisan disaster. When President Bill Clinton welcomed China into the World Trade Organization in 2001, the idea was to hold them accountable. China was supposed to adhere to WTO rules, guaranteeing intellectual property rights and cooperating with American producers. But that never complied. Not the first week, not in the 20th year of doing business. The WTO, World Trade Organization, should have kicked them out for noncompliance. Instead, it's given the Chinese Communist Party free rein to cheat and steal from other members in other countries. Partly that's because the West was able to import cheap Chinese goods, even if their own companies were being put out of business. But it's also because too many governments were intimidated by China. Now the World Trade Organization is racked and stacked with grievances from the U.S. and other countries that have been arbitrated, litigated, or resolved. Frankly, I don't see the point of the WTO even existing if it can't keep China in check. He says, let me give you a good example. Steel dumping. The Chinese government intentionally subsidizes the overproduction of steel, flooding global markets with exports that China sells for below cost of production. Why? The government subsidizes it. This is totally against the international rules of free trade. So they dump the steel, say, you know, $12 a yard. Nobody can make it for that. Why? The government subsidized it. And they use slave labor, but the government subsidized it. That's illegal. So we file a complaint. World Trade Organization does nothing. When China files a complaint, the World Trade Organization does something. The agreement upon entering the World Trade Organization was if we stole, say, Chinese intellectual property, one of our businesses did, violated their copyrights, violated their trademarks, then China can come into America and sue that company using our courts, and they'll be treated as an equal. And they have. They've done it. They won. So what happens when we sue them for the more than 1,000 products, goods, services, and technologies they have stolen? Not a damn thing. We get nowhere in their court system. They just ignore the international treaty. I think it's because China has paid off our leaders. Joe Biden was the best example of that. We only know about it because of Hunter's laptop. Many others have the same deal, like Mitch McConnell, who's a Republican leader, and that's how this has happened. Anyway, he writes, or how the Chinese government repeatedly steals intellectual property. To just give one example among thousands, several years ago on Shark Tank, we had two impressive American entrepreneurs, Jennifer and Gifford Briggs, who invented the drain wig. These nifty little devices catch hair and debris in bathtubs and showers, preventing drain blockages, saving hotels thousands of dollars in maintenance fees. I've actually seen those at hotels. The Briggses went to all the trouble and expense of patenting their product, yet as soon as their revenue hit a $5 million trajectory for the domestic market, China swooped in with their cheap knockoffs at 40 to 50% below drain wig price. What could they do in response to the Chinese companies in a Chinese court? Of course not. You won't get anywhere. That's a violation of the WTO and our trade agreements. Here's another of China's favorite tricks, the golden share. That's when a preferred shareholder sells all their stock except 1%, but that 1% still allows them to control the company. Guess what? The Chinese Communist Party has golden shares in everything. Literally, there's no major Chinese company that isn't controlled by the CCP. So when something like TikTok comes along, when Congress demands TikTok either be sold or banned from the U.S., there's nobody at the company to negotiate with. There's only one guy to talk to, that guy who runs the Chinese government, Xi Jinping, since he holds the golden share. Chinese companies are also not complying with generally accepted accounting principles. When they list their stock on the New York Stock Exchange, in 2020, Congress passed a law that gave them 3 years to comply. Their stats are fake. Everybody else's have to be real or you go to prison, except if you're China and you pay off the Democrats and some Republicans, then you're good. But as usual, China completely ignored the law. Gary Gensler, the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission under Biden, didn't so much as lift a finger against them. Now his successor, Paul Atkins, is trying to force China to be more compliant, but doing so could involve delisting companies with as much as $800 billion in market cap on the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ. Will that hurt the NASDAQ? Sure it will. But some things are more important, O'Leary writes. China takes advantage of U.S. domestic markets, yet it protects its own. Our companies can't do business in China unless they have a Chinese partner and usually have to agree to turn over their intellectual property before the Chinese company will make the deal. We don't do that to Chinese companies that want to set up offices in the U.S. So why do we let them do it to us? The answer is a combination of cowardice, laziness, and the allure of cheap goods. And I would add paid off politicians. The trouble is that, collectively, we in the West have allowed China to walk all over us for years. Administration after administration, not just in the U.S., but also in Europe, we have let China screw the West time after time. I speak for millions who are sick to death of China's shady business practices, which they've been getting away with for decades. So far, China has shrugged off Trump's tariffs, he says. She may be eager to save face, but we all know how this trade war is going to end. Sooner or later, China is going to have to come to the table and cut a deal with the U.S. Why? There is simply no substitute for the American consumer, unless she wants to start printing money to prop up Chinese economy. He's running out of options. I would add he's running out of time. He's got two groups of people in his corner, Democrat Party, who just wants to see Trump fail as much as China does, and the Wall Street shiny shoes who donate to Democrats at an 80% rate. That's what they've got in their pocket. And if they can cause the mom and pops to panic, they win.
I've got big balls. They're such big balls. And they're fancy big balls. And he's got big balls. And she's got big balls.
But we've got the best balls of them all.
These are some of the insane priorities that organization has been spending money on.
$1.5 million to promote gays, lesbians, and trans in Jamaica.
$2 million to strengthen trans-led organizations to deliver gender-affirming health care in Guatemala.
$43 million on a gas station in Afghanistan that had no customers.
$20 million for Iraqi Sesame Street.
$4.5 million to combat disinformation in Kazakhstan.
Over $6 million for men who have sex with men in South Africa.
$2 million for Moroccan pottery classes.
$2 million for sex changes in Guatemala.
$47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia.
$17 million to promote inclusion in Vietnam.
$32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru.
$8 million to teach Sri Lankan journalists how to avoid binary gendered language.
$300 million to Reuters to attack Elon Musk.
$2 million for sex changes and LGBT activism in Guatemala.
Billions to the corporate media to attack Trump and run the fake impeachment propaganda.
$330 million to help Afghanis grow crops. Crops.
$122 million of the USAID money was given to terrorists.
Big balls.
Big B-A-L-L-S. Big balls here.
Personally, I voted for big balls. Elon Musk does.
Big balls is back. He had to go away for a while because the media was outraged, but he was back. He's asked what he has been doing. Nice kid, seems like. He gave an example so you could understand. I'll let him explain, as he did to Jesse Waters last night.
What does Big Balls do?
Right now, I'm working on some payment computer stuff. So one of our initiatives is to root out fraud and waste. And to do that, we started looking at the payment computers. And as mentioned earlier, like, there is no accounting of what payments actually go to in the payment computer. So like, you look at a specific line item, like $20 million.
Inside government.
Like, okay, well, what is this money going to? And for the majority of payment systems, it's like, well, we don't really know.
And yeah, like, what? That would be the response.
Is this the most basic responses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most common response.
What do you say when people just say, I don't know?
Well, it's a huge cause for concern because, like, the upstream thing, which is distributing the money, literally has no checks and no accountability to the actual American taxpayer. So it's a huge vector for fraud, waste, and abuse.
Do these people not respect taxpayer money?
I mean, there's no incentive to if you work in the government. I think the incentives will always decide the outcomes.
Yes.
Okay. The longer segment, he says, well, okay, take this $20 million, for example. There's no codes. We don't know where it goes. No accounting controls, nothing of any kind. And so I go around to Treasury, that's his job, and I say, hey, what was this for? Or I go around, the agency, what was the $20 million payment for? Well, I don't know. Well, do you know? No. Do you know? No. Does anyone know? No. Who got it? Don't know. What was it for? No one knows. Folks, by the way, I want to correct something I've been saying for a couple of weeks, because when Doge initially announced that they had found $4.7 trillion, with a T, in untraceable payments, we don't know where it went, we don't know for what, I assume that was total. No, it's a year. It's every dang year.
A lot of great work at the Treasury this week. One of the crazy things with regards to the Treasury is that when a payment is made, and the computers at the Treasury actually pay about $5 trillion per year, like crazy amounts, there was formerly not a budget code on there. So if a payment was made, you didn't know actually what it was for. It could have been for anything.
Yeah.
You also didn't know who it was going to. Into the ether. It was set up to pay out that way.
Do these people not respect taxpayer money?
I mean, there's no incentive to if you work in the government. I think the incentives will always decide the outcomes.
Yes.
And, the way that the payment system is set up is if you ask for money, you're just going to get it.
Until Saturday. This story has a happy end. And as I tell you this, and I've been screaming about this all week, it's the biggest story of the week. I really think it is. It has a happy ending because as of Saturday, they put a control on it. It's got to match the budget. It's got to have a code that matches a section of the budget that Congress passed. And in one day, the first day they put that code on, they put the system, an actual control system. The system rejected $340 million of fraudulent payments in a single day. That is the scale of the fraud. Think about this, folks. This is what they explained yesterday. The system was set up so that if you had access to it and you requested payment, it would simply pay you. All you needed was the codes and logins. It would pay you. Pay you for what? How much? How much would you like? Folks, Texter earlier wrote, maybe the budget is balanced when you remove all this. Maybe. I don't know. Here's Elon Musk explaining how some of this would work.
There was a $4 billion COVID fund in the Department of Education, and there was no receipts required, so people could just draw down on it. And when people looked into it, this wasn't us, this was before us, they found that money was being used to rent out Caesar's Palace for parties, rent out stadiums, et cetera. And so the one change that Doge made with Department of Education is we had the simple requirement that if you draw down money, you must first upload a receipt. That was the only change that was made. You must upload your receipt. And upon doing so,
yes,
nobody drew down any money anymore.
Yes, but we didn't say that we'd check the receipt. You could send a fake receipt. You could send a picture of your dog. Anything.
Anything.
And but as soon as we asked for anything at all, suddenly the requests were like, oh, we don't need it anymore. Mm. Huh, that's interesting.
They were renting Caesar's Palace.
Yes. They were basically partying on the taxpayer money.
Caesar's Palace.
Stadiums.
Yes.
Leasing stadiums. For what?
For parties, basically.
For parties.
Yes.
That's a big party.
It's a big party.
You'd think if you were stealing, you'd start small.
They do start small. But then what happens is over the years, so generally the fraud starts out small and they try to hide it. But then year after year, if nobody stops the fraud, it gets more and more brazen. And every year it gets bigger until they're literally renting out stadiums.
$1 million to rent out a stadium?
Fraud in flagrante delicto, okay?
He went on to discuss how there's sometimes, it's $20 billion. No, billion. This time, that was a different one. $20 billion. Nobody knows where it goes. Nobody knows who it's paying out. Listen to what got rejected on Saturday, too. There's all these discontinued programs. So there's no budget code for them because we discontinued them, or so we think. $500 billion a year, $500 billion. Some of them 40 years old. I don't even know who runs them, what they do, but somebody's still drawing the money down. Think about that. Somebody is still drawing the money down. Who? Mom? You ever driven around D.C.? You see the mansions? They go on for miles outside. That's who. Guarantee that's who. But that doesn't even count what they found inside the Institute of Peace. It turns out, and it took 4 days of hand-to-hand combat to even get in there because the liberal lunatic running the place wouldn't let him through the door. He called the police. Doge called the police. They had to get the FBI involved. Finally managed to breach the doors. They figured out why it was they wouldn't let him in. In addition to funding the Taliban while they were killing American soldiers. Folks, the Taliban is a U.S. designated terror organization. It is illegal to fund them. You know that, right? They found a whole arsenal of weapons. They had deleted a terabyte of information. I'll tell you what was part of that coming up next. $5 trillion a year. No codes, no oversight. No idea where most of it goes.
A lot of great work at the Treasury this week. One of the crazy things at with regards to the Treasury is that when a payment is made and the computers at the Treasury actually pay about $5 trillion per year, like crazy amounts, there was formerly not a budget code on there. So if a payment was made, you didn't know actually what it was for. It could have been for anything.
Yeah.
Some of it was legitimate, I'm sure. But a lot more was something else. Here's Elon Musk explaining how a lot of the money that ran through the system, ultimately, it never left Washington. The government was set up basically to pay out no matter what. So if you knew how to access the system and make a request of it, it would pay you. And folks, they knew this. This is why...
You can be guaranteed.
Here we go. I hit the wrong one. This is why they had to physically breach the Treasury. And the guy who'd been approving this stuff for 30 years wouldn't let them in, wouldn't give them the codes. They ultimately fired him. Here's what he didn't want them to find. He's talking about it yesterday on Jesse Waters on Fox News.
Exactly. I mean, to Ethan's example is that even if you agreed with supporting alpaca farmers in Peru, well, actually, most of the money never made it out of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It's going into the pockets of people in the neighborhood.
What percentage?
They didn't even get to Peru.
Right. So what percentage do you think doesn't even get to the destination it's supposed to?
I believe the GAO estimates, so this is not our estimate, I believe it was on the order of only 10 to 15 cents on the dollar actually gets to the end recipient, whether you agree with that cause or not.
So they're just stealing the money before it even gets anywhere.
There's layers of stealing. So there's the first layer of stealing, second layer of stealing, third layer of stealing.
Contractor,
subcontractor. It's like peeling an onion. And then maybe, and sometimes it's zero. Just flat, you get to the bottom of the onion, there's nothing there.
So maybe no one got a sex change in Guatemala.
It's possible that no one got a sex change in Guatemala.
I overheard.
Yeah. Hence, if you've ever driven outside D.C., it'll drop your jaw. I've been there several times in recent years with the kids. We rent an Uber. We love to go out to Washington's mansion and visit it. It's beautiful out there on the Potomac. I mean, you got to drive through miles of the most jaw-dropping mansions. And you know how expensive that land is. It's the most expensive real estate in the entire country now. And that only happened in the last two decades. This is why. We got robbed blind, y'all. We did. Here's an earlier interview with Elon Musk, better laying this out with Joe Rogan.
To give you an example of like what's happening, say, Treasury, which is improving rapidly. The main payments computer is called PAM. Like payment accounts master database or something like that. But everyone calls it PAM. That's responsible for almost $5 trillion of payments a year, roughly $1 billion an hour. When we came there, we're looking at the PAM, and it's like you could put a payment through with no payment categorization code and no description on the payment, like basically untraceable blank checks. This is the kind of thing that if it was done as a public company, the company would be immediately delisted and the executive team would be thrown in prison. But this is just normal at the government.
This is the part I can't get over. again, that this Big Balls was explaining this. The kid named his Big, he seems like a nice guy. And he's saying, look, well, I'll let him tell you.
Do these people not respect taxpayer money?
I mean, there's no incentive to if you work in the government. I think the incentives will always decide the outcomes.
Yes.
And, you know, the way that the payment system is set up is if you ask for money, like, you're just going to get it.
And remember when Doge initially said they were paying terrorist groups, they were paying fraudulent organizations that didn't really exist. None of it gets turned down. Here's Elon Musk describing to Joe Rogan what this is like.
So we said, okay, our recommendation to the Treasury and the Federal Reserve is like, we need to make the payment categorization codes mandatory, not optional. And you need, there needs to be an explanation. We're not judging the quality of the explanation, but there should be some explanation for what this payment is for above nothing. That's a radical change to the system that is being implemented now. My guess is that probably saves $100 billion a year.
Jesus Christ.
That's,
where was that money going?
Rough order of magnitude.
Probably. Where was that money going?
Well, so this is where you get into the sort of gray boundary between waste and fraud. If money is sent to a person or organization from the government and you didn't really deserve it, but the government still sent it to you, is that waste or fraud?
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of payments that where someone just approved the payment, but then that payment officer changed jobs or retired or died, and the payments just keep going. You know, it's like if you forget to pay your gym membership or something like that.
Right.
Now, imagine it's not the gym membership. You said your gym membership's $20 billion a year or something, you know? But they forgot to turn it off. That's happening at scale in the government.
Jesus,
it's totally nuts.
Christ,
is what I'm saying.
So insane. Yeah.
Now he says $100 billion there, right? But he's not counting the $500 billion that was authorized, but the programs expired. Some of them 40 years ago, some of them 2 decades ago, some of them from the 90s. They haven't been in a budget for years, but the money's still paying out. That's half a trillion, not billion, trillion dollars a year. Okay. That is a quarter of our deficit. We borrow on our children's back or print, making you broke at the grocery store when you check out, $2 trillion a year now. So basically a quarter of that is just expired programs. Goes where? Who the hell knows? Nobody knows. Texter writes, hey, Tira, what? The money never left Washington like the Hunger Games with one mega capital city and the rest of the country in ruins? Unbelievable. Yeah. They are not making us fight each other yet for their entertainment, but you give them a little bit, they'll be there. Texter writes, so everyone gets paid except the tax-paying slaves? Yes. Another texter writes, asking for a friend. Who does one ask in the government for this free money? Here's the good news, no one. They just set up a fraud system, and it caught $340 million in fraudulent payments on Saturday, one day, 24 hours alone, and chop block them. Stop them cold. And that, my friends, is why violent leftists are trying to burn down Tesla dealerships.